Amen. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Very familiar passage. And let's just walk through it tonight. Luke chapter 2. I was reminded that my wife and I made a visit last night and was talking with this couple and was able to lead them through some scriptures and Old Testament scriptures that interrelate and connect to New Testament scriptures, and just doing the cross references. And there's nothing like the Bible.
Amen.
It's an amazing book. Amazing book. It's a miraculous book.
Amen.
It's a book that's absolutely powerful, powerful, powerful. Yeah. It's miraculous. It's powerful. And again, we think about every promise that God has made in the Bible has been kept.
Amen.
Every prophecy that has been prophesied has been fulfilled. Why? Because God wrote the book.
Amen.
Dr. Barber used to say that all the time. God wrote the book.
Amen.
God wrote it. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20, we have, of course, the story of the birth of Jesus. And we read it a few weeks ago at the Christmas party, but let's read it again tonight. Look there, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from the Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Amen.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I know it's familiar tonight, but what a wonderful passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray, praise you. Thank you for sending your wonderful Son into this world in order that he might be our Savior, might save us from our sins. I do pray tonight that we would, as children of God, remember the reason for the season. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, we have the account of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God made in flesh. God made in flesh. Again, we think about Timothy when he said, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was made in the flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And according to John chapter 1. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we have the prophecy concerning Jesus' birth, that Jesus Christ would be born, and prophesied the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem 700 years prior to his birth. Isaiah 7:14, 750 years before Christ's birth. Isaiah prophesied that he would be born of a virgin, and he would be God in the flesh. He said that he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 9, which we will cover this Sunday night, verses 1 through 8, speaks of the light that would return. The light, again referring to Christ, capital L-I-G-H-T, that light, the Messiah who would come. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we had the verse prophecy, the very first prophecy concerning Christ's coming. We see that same prophecy repeated to Abraham in chapter 15 and to Abraham again in chapter 17. We see that same prophecy, as I preached on Sunday morning, repeated to David. That prophecy was repeated to Isaac and Jacob. A prophecy repeated that the seed of Abraham would come one day. That the seed, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says that seed was Christ.
Amen.
That seed was Christ. And you can follow, and it's so much fun if you do it, and we preached it many times, and you can follow that theme throughout the Old Testament, the seed, the seed, the seed. It's mentioned over 100 times. And that fulfillment is seen in the person of Jesus Christ, the promised seed of Abraham. The fulfillment of that promise to Abraham, the fulfillment of that promise to King David had come. The Old Testament promises and prophecies fulfilled. First off, we see here the place, verses 1 through 5 in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. The place. Well, Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. The world into which he was born. Look at chapter 2. Look back with me, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days. What were those days? What was the days in which he was born? Well, we know in those days that the Roman Empire was the king of all nations.
Yeah.
They had enslaved all the then-known world, basically, at that time. And the most powerful man in the world was Augustus, Caesar Augustus. And it was actually Caesar Augustus who basically at that point did away with the Senate. The Senate was still there and the Republic was still there, but the Senate was just made of puppets. They had taken all the power away from the Senate. The Senate had no power and had made Caesar Augustus emperor. Emperor, it sounds like a Star Wars movie. The empire, the Roman Empire, and we have that in history, the Roman Empire. It was indeed became a Roman Empire instead of the Roman Republic. I wonder what a republic is.
Yeah.
We won't do that. We won't go there tonight. A republic, and the republic was gone. It is now the Roman Empire, and Caesar Augustus sits on the throne of the Roman Empire. He is now king and potentate. What he says goes. The Senate now has no say. They've been tossed aside. The Bible says here there was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Again, he was the emperor. You had no choice. There was no appeal. I just remind you tonight that God moved the entire Roman Empire to fulfill prophecy. God moved in the heart of a Roman emperor in order that prophecy might be fulfilled. And Mary and Joseph had to travel to the place of their lineage. They had to travel to the place of David, to Bethlehem, 100 miles away. And as we know, and we've taught from this pulpit many times, when you travel from Galilee and you travel down to Judea, you couldn't go through Samaria. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. It also is topographically a very hard place to traverse. It's mountainous. It's like the hill country, the Texas hill country. It does remind me of that a lot. And so the easiest route was also to go through the Jordan Valley, to go over and to the east and come down the Jordan Valley and then cross back over into Judea. So they made that trip 100 miles. Again, she was close to having a baby. How many of you ladies would like to travel 100 miles and not by a Cadillac, not by car, not by a glorified Toyota, not by any, I mean, walking and maybe riding on a donkey, whatever the case is, but it was not, 100 miles. That trip would have taken 2 or 3 days, maybe even 4 days. Think about how they must have felt. All of that to fulfill prophecy. All of that to bring Joseph and Mary to the house of David, the place of Christ's birth.
Amen.
Bethlehem, the house of bread, 6 miles, 5 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. A small town in that day, 500 people, 500 to 1,000 people. Bethlehem. And though she be little among all the towns, the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. We see this in verse 6 and 7. The days were accomplished. She brought forth her firstborn son. Firstborn son. We pointed this out before. This is not just talking about sequence, by the way. And just to make clear that Mary had more than one child. Right?
Amen.
Jesus was the firstborn of those children, but she had more children after that.
Right.
She was not the sinless Mary. she had more children after that. And, but also speaking of, not only is it speaking of Christ being the firstborn, but also in rank. We know this because of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that says he is the firstborn among all creatures, among all living. Well, we know in sequence that's not true, but we know in rank it is.
Amen.
In rank. Firstborn, first in rank, above all, the Creator became part of his creation. The Creator became our Savior. Prophecy, it was fulfilled. And Mary took the baby, Jesus, and she wrapped him. She wrapped him. Remember that now. It's kind of, it was Spurgeon who I read who pointed this out. No nurse. No help. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She didn't have nobody to help her. Think about that. Alone, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Those strips of cloth, torn strips of cloth, wrapped him to protect him.
Amen.
And placed him in a manger in a lowly, humble estate. I can't imagine. When Caleb was born 935 years ago, no, 29 years ago, we were at the Nakona Hospital, the big city, the big metropolis in Nakona. My wife and I had similar doctors. Our doctors had been doctoring us as we were teenagers, and we knew them well, and they knew us, you know, well. And the doctor we had at that time was the deacon of the First Baptist Church in Nakona, a godly man, a good man, lots of good stories. And I got to see the birth of my son. They placed him over in a lighted thingy-ma-bob, little bed thingy-ma-bob. Slapped him around a couple times. And he cried out, right? No other dads got to experience that? Yeah.
Yep.
How would you have liked to have taken your firstborn and put it in a manger? I think we just don't. I grew up in church, so I take it for granted. That's the story. That's what it is. They placed him in a manger. He wasn't in hospital. She had no one by her, not another lady by her side to help her. All alone. Something, isn't it? That the God of the universe would humble himself to that lowly estate? It's one thing for one our children to be born that in that humble surroundings, but the God of the universe? Try to wrap your head around that one. I was doing some more reading today, and just this trying to, again, wrap your head around the God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, the God who made the universe humbled himself to that lowly estate. He who was rich became poor. The God of glory, born in Bethlehem, placed in a manger. The Bible says there was no room in the inn. I want to remind you of Mosaic law. So the Jews were under Mosaic law. And during the time of Jesus, though they were not fulfilling the law as they should, but they were fulfilling the law by the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. And we have Pharisees and Sadducees, right? Hypocrites.
Right.
Hypocrites. They had added to the Bible. They had added to the law
right.
thousands and thousands and thousands of more rules, of more laws, the extra biblical laws. The Torah is full of them. They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. It's an amazing thought to think about that the Mosaic law required a Jew that if a stranger came into town, that they were to and was to knock on their door and was to ask for lodging, they were to give it. And they were to give it free. Freely give them lodging, feed them, and provide provision for their animals. That was in the Mosaic law. And because, again, at that point in time, the Jews were all about the law. I mean, they were all about it. Thus, they wanted to keep it. Well, what happened over the years and centuries is, yes, they kept the letter of the law, but not the spirit. So what would happen as time went on, a little city like Bethlehem would get together, and they would say, you know what, I don't want to keep strangers in my house anymore, but let's designate so-and-so's house to be to keep all the visitors who come to town. And we'll just pay him to do it so they don't have to stay at my house. All right, the keeping the letter of the law, the stranger who comes into town, the guests who come into town are being taken care of, but not the spirit of the law. As time went on, the city would just say, oh, you know what? Nobody wants them at their house. Let's just prepare a place for them. Let's just make a place for them to come and have their own little, yeah. And so even Spurgeon says, and understand that when it says there's no place in the inn, this is not Motel 6. It's not a place you walk up and there's an attendant there and, you know, you pay $50. Motel 6, still $50? Me and Brother Clark and I wanted to go see Brandon Cook graduate. So we went to Knoxville, Tennessee to see Brandon Cook graduate from Crown College. By the way, they're having Brother Sexton's funeral tonight. It's the service. Pray for that church, Temple Baptist Church, and the Sexton family. And Brother Clark has been all over the world. I just trusted him. And like we had to stay somewhere. And we go up to this motel, we stop in, and there's not even a foyer. There's not a lobby. It's just a guy behind a glass. Hey, we'd like to stay. I don't know, I think it was like $25 or something. I'm halfway serious. You can talk to him about it some other time. But it's not even that hotel, it's not even... Not even like that hotel. This hotel was not like a hotel, you know, Motel 6 or a Holiday Inn. These were places in which were set up so someone could come and stay. Not only they could stay there, but their animals could stay as well, and they were provided for, and so forth. And it's Brother Clark and I have had lots of discussions. If it may have been Tower of the Flock, where they ended up at. Possibly so, and I would lean that way. If not, it was the caves. The little manger scene you have at the house with that little manger thing is not biblically accurate.
Amen.
We know that at the very least, it would have been, there are many caves around there, and that's where the shepherds kept their sheep. But there was no room for him in the inn. There was no room for him in the inn because the city was full of people. That's one of the reasons. There's no room for her in the inn because she was pregnant.
Amen.
Wasn't married. She was of ill repute, if you would. No one wanted anything to do with her. Imagine that. Imagine that kind of rejection. By the way, while Jesus was alive, they continued to call him, you know, the son of an unwed mother. That's lowly, isn't it? The lowest state that Christ stooped to is amazing. So we see the place of his birth. And we have here the appearance of the angels. I'll move on. And they appear to the shepherds, again, emphasizing the lowliness of which Christ came. Again, shepherds were the lowest of the low. I mean, if you had, you know, the rankings of jobs in that day, and you had your white-collar jobs, your blue-collar jobs, and then, I mean, they were down on the very bottom of the scale. They were considered peasants, the poorest, and they stank. People didn't want to hang out with them. And yet, the shepherds were the ones in which the angels came to. The first Christmas message was preached or brought to the shepherds. It wasn't brought to kings. It wasn't brought to the rich. It wasn't brought to the educated or the powerful, but brought to poor peasants, the lowest of the low.
Amen.
Isn't that just like God?
Yep. Amen.
His son is born in Bethlehem, born in a lowly, a small town, born in a lowly, you know, humble estate, placed in a manger. And now he comes to shepherds instead of kings. Aren't you glad of that? I'm thankful he comes to all. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around about them. We think about that light and that star. I believe here the Shekinah glory as appeared unto them and the angels began to speak to them. We know that the Lord had been silent, that God had been silent for 400 years before he came to Mary and Joseph. 400 years before he came to Elizabeth and Zacharias. And 400 years now he's come to the shepherds. I just can't imagine being out in a field, and I've been to Jerusalem and seen the shepherd fields. And you send up a kind of a little hill, and you go, you see the shepherd fields, and there's another hill on the other side, and they're all down there. And when I was there, there were shepherds there, and there were sheep there. They're still tending their sheep in the same spot. I can't imagine being in that field one time, and then all of a sudden this bright light appears. People start speaking out of it. The Bible says they were afraid. God came to them, and God spoke to them. We see the angel's announcement. The angel said, listen, fear not. The angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Again, he'd come to shepherds. Fear not. Fear not's found 63 times in the Bible. I think we ought to maybe heed to that tiding. Fear not. I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news that should be to all people, not just the Jew, not just the poor, but to everyone. Good news. Good news. A Savior is born. The name Jesus means Savior. Who is what? Christ the Lord. The name Lord means boss. It's speaking of Jehovah. And then the Christ means what? Messiah. So think about it now. These shepherds are in the field. The angel appears unto them. This great light appears unto them. He says, listen, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy. The Savior is born. A Savior is born. Who is Christ? Who's the Messiah? They've heard that message before. They've heard the message that a Messiah will come one day. They've heard it from the hypocritical Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious. They've heard it. They've heard that news. They had to be familiar with it somewhat because of what they did afterwards. Bring you good news. The Messiah is born. Think about that. The fulfillment of prophecy, the prophecy given to Abraham, the prophecy given to Isaac and Jacob, the prophecy that was promised to David has been accomplished, has been done. And there'll be a sign to you, a baby is born and be in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now again, finding a baby in a manger, that's pretty unusual. And wrapped in swaddling clothes makes it even more unusual.
Come on.
A sign. And then we see a song. The angels began to praise and sing. By the way, look at that real quick. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward man. This suddenly, the angel, there appeared with him, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. And we know it says the angels went away, so we know it was some of those were angels. But that heavenly host could have been something more than just angels. I wonder. We'll be able to ask the Lord someday. But they were praising God, singing. And what a message it was. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill. Not among men. If your translation says that, it's wrong. Absolutely wrong. Goodwill toward men. God sent His Son into this world that in order we might have peace with God. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. We are born at enmity with God, and God sent His Son to bring peace. I'm thankful at the age of 6 years old I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I got peace. Peace with God. We won't go through it tonight, but I'm thankful for the peace of God as well. I'm not just promised heaven and peace with God. I, as a Christian, have promised peace of God, that peace and contentment that passes all understanding, that joy of the Lord, which only comes by way of the Holy Spirit, peace with God. And then we see the shepherds' actions. Lastly, it says, and they came to pass, as the angels were gone away, and that's why you know that it says angels, plural there, you know that that heavenly host was also, a part of them was angels. Part of them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came and they found what that's promised. And then it says they went abroad saying, which was the sayings which told them concerning this child. They went and told others. They went and told others. And people began to wonder at what the shepherds said. The shepherds obeyed the angel. They made haste to find the baby. They ran. That word made haste means they ran. And they found him. Once they found him and they left there, they began to spread the good news. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. A few things tonight, real quick. I'm thankful that I know that God rules in the affairs of men. He moves the heart of Caesar. He moves the heart of Caesar in order that prophecy might be fulfilled. Can I remind you that God is the one who sets up thrones and takes them down?
Amen.
And you know what? Whether it's Biden or Trump, whomever, they are not the cure.
Amen.
They are not the solution. The Lord is.
Amen.
I'm thankful that God keeps His promises. He kept His promise to Adam and Eve and Abraham, etc., and He'll keep every promise He's ever made to us as well. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every line. Amen? You say, well, not the Old Testament promise. Well, in Abraham, yes. The Bible says, I'm a child of Abraham, a spiritual child of Abraham. So, it's a great little chorus for kids. It's okay. You can sing it. It'll be all right. God keeps His promises.
Amen.
He will move an entire empire to fulfill His promise. To fulfill His promise. I'm thankful I know He's coming again. He's going to keep His promise. And He'll move whomever He needs to move in order to fulfill that promise. He left the portals of glory to be laid in a manger. Humility. He said to the shepherds, fear not. I'm thankful 2 Timothy says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Listen, Christian, you should not be afraid. You should not live in fear.
Amen.
I get it every week, at least one or two people. Well, I'm just scared this is going to happen, or I'm scared that's going to happen. And you watch too much Fox News. Or
Amen.
I know we repeat it a lot here, but J.C. House said the world's not coming apart, not falling apart, it's falling into place.
Amen.
It's just falling into place. And we have the good news. Peace. We have the good news to share that good news to others. The world cannot bring peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, the world can't give peace. The peace I give you is greater than what the world can give. Christmas time is one of the greatest times of the year. People are open,
Amen.
Especially now.
Amen.
We do live in a day of negative news. You say, well, that's always been that way. Yeah, but it's bad.
Yeah.
And we need to be the light that people can see. We need to share that good news with others. A lot of anxiety and fear. Listen, Christians with anxiety and fear about the government and about sickness and about those things. Christians afraid. You don't have to be afraid. That fear doesn't come from the Lord. Then where does it come from? Be careful. You don't have to be afraid. Share the good news with others. Proclaim the good news. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Share it with your family. You're going to have some opportunities to talk to aunts and uncles you haven't seen in a long time. Nieces and nephews you haven't seen in a long time. Share the good news. Share the good news. Read the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. I just gave you a few highlights, too. You could write them down and talk about them. Share that good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the good news. We thank you for the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you would embolden us through your Spirit to tell others the good news. Lord, there's some here tonight who've said, well, I've told my aunt and uncle before, and they just don't listen. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them. Give them boldness to tell them again. Lord, may we continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 160.